الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences related to reciting Salawat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith sharif that send salawat upon me abundantly on Friday, for this is the day of the angels becoming present. Now, when we reach the day of Friday, our recitation of Salat ala Nabi should increase. If we're normally reciting 20, 30, 40 salawat daily, 100 salawat daily, then on the day of Friday, we should try and maximize that. We have a bit of free time, we have extra time, and we should make this day count, inshallah. Act upon this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ himself has instructed us to recite Salawat ala Nabi on the day of Friday, because this is the day of presence. Angels appear, and whoever recites Salat upon me, his Salat is presented to me. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Now, the Sahabi, the narrator, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about after you pass away? Will it still be presented to you? What's going to be the situation? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, indeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden upon the earth to consume the bodies, to eat the bodies of the Prophets alayhi wa sallam. The Prophets alayhi wa sallam are alive and are provided with provision from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَنَبِيُّ hayyun yurzaq. These are the wordings of the hadith. This hadith is in the sunan of Imam Ibn Majah. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The first 10 days of Zulhijjah, according to many commentators of the Quran, are being referred to in the first few verses of Surah Al-Fajr. In Para 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wal Fajri wa Layalin Ashr, by the dawn and the 10 nights. These 10 nights, according to many scholars, many mufassirin, refer to the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram, the first 10 nights. As you know, millions of Muslims across the globe are distinguished in these 10 nights, beyond these 10 nights as well, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses them from all the Muslims in the world. Approximately 2 to 3 million Muslims will be honored to perform the pillar of Hajj. They will be there in the plains of Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, in the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarrama. They will complete the rites of Hajj. And then, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will undertake a journey to Madinatul Munawwara. Zadahallahu sharafan wa ta'azima. To show their loyalty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show their mahabba to the Prophet alayhi salam, and to pay homage to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us all amongst those people as well. Now, this visit to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, you could say this is the spiritual peak for a believer. The spiritual elevation that a person attains by visiting the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be underestimated. For this is the court of that blessed individual who taught us about Allah, who taught us about the deen of Islam, who taught us about the pillars of Islam, the ahkam of Islam, who conveyed Al-Quran Al-Kareem to us. The Quran was revealed upon his blessed heart. So the Prophet ﷺ is our everything as Muslims. He's our guide, he's our leader, he's our master. And we're told in the hadith that we love him more than everything. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you can be a complete believer until you love the Prophet ﷺ more than his parents, more than his children, more than everything. And when you reach that level of love for the Prophet ﷺ, you will see the thamarat, the fruits of that yourself. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he became a Muslim, became a devotee and a lover of the Prophet ﷺ, he attained one of the greatest maqams ever witnessed. Meaning, after the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the greatest human being is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest human being is Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So, this transformation that takes place in the lives of people because of their love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is something amazing. The more love we have for our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more blessings we will attain. Imam Abdullah bin Alawi al-Haddad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states that if someone were to go and visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara to pay respects to the Prophet alayhi salam, to greet him, to give him salam, and if he travels even from the furthest lands, not on his feet but on his head, he travels not on his feet but on his head all the way, which is obviously not possible, but he's giving an example. He said if that person were to travel on his head from the furthest lands away from Madinatul Munawwara, and then come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would still not be fulfilling the gratitude that he owes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet alaihi wasallam taught us everything about Islam. He taught us that there is Allah. He taught us about Jannah. He taught us about the hereafter. We owe everything to him. So visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very important. And if anybody, especially among Muslims, have the incorrect understanding about visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessed city, then that's unfortunate, or who don't consider it of any great significance. Our imams are speaking about traveling there on your head, and you still won't do justice. You still won't be able to show full shukr to the Prophet alayhi salam. So this is the understanding of the deen that we should have. Nevertheless, inshallah, we'll hear about how you should visit Madinatul Munawwara, how you should express love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sahaba are our guides in this regard. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they are our guides in this regard. People often say, did the Sahaba do this? Did the Sahaba carry out this action? The Sahaba were those people who would not allow the wudu water of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the water that would touch his blessed body, to fall onto the ground. They would catch that water in their hands before it even touched the ground. They would rub it on their own bodies, on their faces. This is what the Sahaba would do. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in are those who, when it came to the time of Salah, remember Salah is from Hukukullah, from the rights of Allah. When it comes to the time of Salah, and at the same time the Prophet alayhi salam is resting on one of a companion's lap, what does the companion do? He faces a situation now. Does he disturb the Prophet alayhi salam and interrupt the sleep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam and offer his salah, or does he miss his salah, allow the time to elapse and be mindful of the sleep of the Prophet alayhi salam? Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala an gave priority to the sleep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what the Sahaba told us. This is what the Sahaba through their examples, instructed us regarding the dhat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That from creation, within creation, there is no one who is as great as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is Habibullah, he is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, when we believers, the latter generations, obviously we weren't there in the time of the Sahaba, what do we have? We have this blessed trip to Madinatul Munawwara. We convey our greetings. This is how we have suhbah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We go to his blessed resting place. But remember, when you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's resting place, there are adab. Just as when you go to Makkah al-Mukarramah and you go to Masjid al-Haram and you're before al-Kaaba al-Musharrafah, you're in Haram al-Makki, there are adab. Similarly, when you go to Madinatul Munawwara, when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, ala sahibiha salatu wassalam, there are adab, there are etiquettes that we must abide by. So much so that the scholars of Islam were very mindful of these rites. One great scholar of Islam, his title was Ghazali-e-Zaman, and he was a very intellectual scholar, Allama Sayyid Ahmad Sayyid Kazimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Whenever he would visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he would stay for only a day or two. And people would ask him the reason for this. That everybody else comes and everybody tries to maximize their stay. Stay for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however much time they can get in the blessed city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they asked him, Huzoor, how come you only stay for a day or two? And then you leave. He said, truth be told, the adab of these blessed maqamat, and especially Madinatul Munawwara, are so many that I am fearful that I might go against any etiquette of this blessed city. This was his taqwa, this was his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had in his heart. This was again his devotion to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whilst I'm here, I don't want to put any foot wrong. But unfortunately, it's seen today that when people go, they're unmindful of the fact that they're in Masjid al-Haram, or Makkah al-Mukarramah, or Madinat al-Munawwara, or Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. They're careless. They'll be doing all sorts, quarreling, disputing, treating it like an ordinary holiday. Remember, this is not your ordinary holiday. You're going for a picnic or anything like that. This is the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, let me mention an incident from the life of one of the greatest imams of the recent past, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, the Mujaddid of the previous century. When he went to visit Makkah al-Mukarramah for Hajj the second time, he fell severely ill, just about managed to complete his Hajj. He had severe fever, other issues he was facing as well. Yet, he was desirous and intent upon visiting the Prophet ﷺ's masjid in Madinatul Munawwara and to convey his salam to the Prophet ﷺ. The ulama of the time, the ulama of Haram Sharif, Makkah al-Mukarramah, they said, Sayyidi, you've been before in your first visit. Look at your state right now. You're very weak. How are you going to manage to go all the way to Madinatul Munawwara giving salam? We advise you to cancel that part of your journey. My Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma was a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he didn't particularly like this piece of advice. He said that if I'm honest with you, this is my second visit, but even the first time when I came for Hajj, my actual intention was to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I knew that Hajj will be fulfilled anyway as part of the blessed journey, but my aim is to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned a hadith that man hajja wa lam yazurni faqad jafani. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever performed Hajj and did not visit me, then he hasn't shown true devotion towards me. Faqad jafani. And he said, Ala Hazrat said, I don't believe this hadith refers to just one visit. I believe that this hadith refers to every single visit you undertake to Haramain Sharifain. That whenever you get a chance to go to those blessed lands, do not forego the visit to Madinatul Munawwara. And then he expressed his heartfelt desire. He said, it doesn't matter to me how long I stay there for, but I want to go there. He said, even if I go there, I'm able to only gaze at the blessed resting place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the golden grills, the Muwajaha Sharif. And even if I pass away that very instant, I accept that. I'm happy with that. I just want to reach there. And alhamdulillah, we know from his biography that he did end up reaching the blessed land of Madinatul Munawwara and visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara is not a small thing. This is a massive blessing and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers. Let's hear a few ahadith in regards to visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Madinatu tanfi an-nasa kama yanfi al-kiru khabath al-hadid." That Medina purifies people as the furnace purifies iron from rust. So when you go to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, you become pure. And in fact, ulama have said something beautiful, that if possible, whenever you go to Haramain Sharifain, try to go to Makkah Al-Mukarramah first. Why? Because once you are pure from sins, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you, then you go to meet the most purest in creation, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in that state. This is a recommendation of the ulama. Another hadith, Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever comes to visit my resting place and he comes solely for this person, meaning this is the only intention he has, then it is necessary upon me to intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Shafa'at. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man hajja fazara qabri ba'da wafati. Whoever performs Hajj and then he visits me after I have departed from this world, فَكَأَنَّمَا زَارَنِي فِي حَيَاتِي. It's as if he has visited me in my lifetime. These are the words of the Prophet ﷺ. A great scholar of the past, Sheikh Shu'aib Harifish, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has mentioned about 10 points in relation to visiting Al-Madinatul Munawwara. What blessings does one attain? And you should keep these in mind whenever you get a chance to go to Medina Sharif. Number one, he writes that this person will become highly ranked. Allah Ta'ala will bless him in his status. Number two, he will achieve his aims and objectives when he visits Madinatul Munawwara. Number three, his needs will be fulfilled. Number four, he will remain safe and sound from destruction and devastation. Number five, he will be immune from defects and flaws. Number six, his troubles will be eased. Number seven, he will be protected from calamities. Number eight, he will have a good return in the hereafter. Number nine, he'll be privileged to spend his donation. And number 10, he will have blessings of the Lord of the East and the West. So this journey to Madinatul Munawwara is a journey full of immense blessings. Every footstep you take. But as we heard, those footsteps that you take, you have to be very mindful. You don't want to go there in such a way that, ma'adullah, upon leaving, the Prophet ﷺ is displeased with you. You're criticizing your hotel arrangements, or you're criticizing shopkeepers and their behavior. You will face a lot of tests whenever you go to Haramain Sharifain. Consider this a test for you from the court of Allah. Something may happen in the hotel. Or you go to a food place to buy something, or generally shopping, and then you begin to speak bad. And you begin to say to people, oh, I didn't think Makkah will be like this. I didn't think Medina will be like this. Now you're attributing that bad to the blessed cities. Before you know it, shaitan and nafs have involved you in all sorts of wrong. So we have to be very, very careful when we're in the blessed city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever we get a chance to visit the birthplace of the Prophet alaihi wasallam in Makkatul Mukarramah, then we do not put a foot wrong. And how are you going to avoid putting a foot wrong? By reading how the scholars visited. How did they used to visit? What intentions did they have when visiting? Another thing, when people go to the blessed lands, they have this desire to go out and about and to see various different landmarks and sites. Okay, you should book one day for that, go and visit the various ziyarat. But some people, every other day, they're out and about. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was asked how to spend time, especially in Madinatul Munawwara. And he said that, look, if somebody wants to visit, for example, Mount Uhud, and visit other blessed maqamat, it's good, all well and good. He should schedule a time for that, he should go and visit. But he goes, for me, majority of my time will be spent at the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, because there's no greater maqam than that area there. In fact, the ulama have written that the blessed area of land, the soil that is being honored to touch the noble and pure body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that area of land is even greater in status than Kaaba al-Musharrafa, the Arsh of Allah, and the Kursi as well. Because these things are all a creation. The Kaaba is a creation. The Kursi is a creation. The Arsh is a creation. And from all of these things, the status that is afforded to the blessed soil that is touching the pure body of Rasulullah alayhi salam is greater. So you should try and spend most of your time near the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we have many maqam, many instances of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in going to the grave of the Prophet alayhi salam after he passed away. And again, look at the i'tiqad, look at the belief, look at the aqidah of a sahabi. This particular hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Marwan was the ruler of the time. And what did he witness? What did he see? He saw that a particular person had his forehead on the shrine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning he was sitting in that kind of inclined position. And he said to the person, what are you doing? Marwan said, this rule of the time. When that person looked back, lo and behold, it was none other than Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, the host of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was blessed with this honor of accommodating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ blessed him by staying in his house. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was the blessed individual who was sitting in that position with his head lowered and his forehead, as mentioned in the hadith, was touching the blessed shrine. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala replied to Marwan as well. Again, highlighting the aqidah of the Sahaba. The aqidah of the Sahaba is our aqidah today as well. No different. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, when he was asked, what are you doing? He said, I have not come to a stone. Meaning, do you think that I am venerating the stone or anything like that? They believed in a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who is alive, who can see them, and who has ikhtiyar and tasarruf being granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in a powerful Prophet alayhi salam. And this is the aqidah that we have today. This is the same belief that we have today. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu said, I have not come to a stone. I have come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, which was relevant to Marwan. He said that I heard the Prophet alayhi salam said, do not weep for the deen if you have qualified people. When there's qualified people in deeni roles, then do not weep for the people. But weep when the affairs of Muslims are under the control of unqualified people. This is what Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala said. But going back to it, this was his aqidah, visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, conversing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knowing that the Prophet alayhi wasallam can hear you, can see you. These are all part and parcel of our beliefs, the beliefs of Ahlu Sunnati. And all of these tasarrufat, all of these ikhtiyarat, all of this power has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we heard the hadith before as well in Sunan Ibn Majah, I'll repeat it. Inna Allah harrama 'ala al-ardi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi wasallam, meaning they do not decompose. If anyone from us were to die, a normal person were to die, and I'm sure you've seen maybe videos on this or read upon this, very quickly the body decomposes. Insects and all sorts enter the grave. But with Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, Allah Ta'ala has preserved and protected their pure bodies, their noble bodies. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala has made it haram upon the earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya alayhim salam. فَنَبِيُّ hayyun yurzaq. That the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive and he is given sustenance in his blessed grave as well. Now when you go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, the masjid, the area of Medina, wherever you are, be very respectful. Show courtesy. Try to help people. Try to remove people's difficulties. Remove selfishness. Be selfless. Come to the aid of people. And let me again tell you a waqia of one of our pious predecessors of the recent past. An Ashiqi Rasool, a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, B. Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Muhaddis Ali Puri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Once he was in Madinatul Munawwara, Zadah Allahu Sharafun wa Ta'azima. And it's mentioned that his murid, one of his disciples who was there at the time, one of his disciples, to fend off a dog of Madinatul Munawwara, used some sort of force, may have even hit that dog. And when Pir Sayyid Jamaat Ali Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali found out about this, he became restless. He summoned the murid and he said, what did you do? Why did you do this? And he obviously tried to explain why he did it. He said, no. These dogs are the dogs of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We must even respect them as well. And then he stated that this great scholar of his time, this great leader of his time who had murids in the millions, subhanallah, look at his level of humbleness in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It states that he went to that dog himself, weeping, asked forgiveness from that dog, and even it states that he fed that dog, provided milk to that dog, and he said, Jamaat Ali apologizes, for the sake of Allah, accept his apology. So these were devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that their conduct in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an example for us. Ala Hazrat, I've discussed his incidents as well. Other great scholars of the past as well. Another scholar who was a contemporary of both Ala Hazrat and Peer Jamaat Ali Shah Sahib, Allama Ismail, Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a great scholar of the Arab world. Allah Ta'ala knows how many times he was honored to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream. It's narrated regarding his honorable wife that she saw the Prophet alayhi wasallam more than 80 times in a dream. And imagine him himself. When he would go to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, Zadah Allahu Sharafan wa Ta'azima, he would sit at some distance away from the Muwajah Sharif, outside, and he would sit at some distance. Someone once asked him the reason for that you're sitting quite away, a bit away. What is the hikmat behind this? What is the maqsad behind this? Allama Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, I'll ask you a question. He said, the dog, the guard dog, the one who protects the possessions of the owner, who is there to safeguard, where does he be, inside the house or outside the house? And he gave the answer. He said, obviously the dog is outside the house. And he said, I am a guard dog. I am a dog of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Whoever attacks his honor, I refute them. Whoever speaks ill against him, Imam Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani would pick up his pen and comprehensively refute that person, rebuke that person, and prove through Quran and Hadith that whatever he said about the Prophet alayhi wasallam was wrong. So this is the reason why he would stand, or sit rather, quite away from the Muwajah, the blessed resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So Just to conclude the bayan, when we visit the noble sanctuaries, Haramain Sharifain, yes, this is a great honor, but ensure that when you visit, you also learn the adab. You also learn the etiquettes. We have some scholars in Islam who said that for 20 years, first before studying sacred knowledge, we studied adab. We studied etiquette, adab, respect. This deen is all about adab, respecting. And then we studied sacred knowledge so that we benefit from it. When you go to these blessed lands, don't treat it like a normal holiday. I'm going to gain some time away from my stressful life. I'm just going to rest up. When you're out there, every footstep you have to be mindful. You want to please Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to be mindful of not arguing with people, not criticizing unduly, not harming others, being helpful to others. These are things that are required. So we should yearn to visit these blessed places. We should yearn to go. But at the same time, we have to develop the understanding of how to stay there. And also when you go there, you should show emotion. You should cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of the Kaaba al-Musharrafa. When you visit the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, you should shed tears. And we should be humble. And we should say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have destroyed ourselves with sins. What does the Quran say? That وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. That when the people have wronged themselves with sins, they should come to you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. They should seek forgiveness from Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will seek forgiveness for them. And then they will find Allah, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ الرَّحِيمَ. As the acceptor of repentance, as the most merciful. This is the verse that you should keep in your mind when you're in Medina Sharif. And lastly, you know the incident of Ustuwana Hannana, the pillar of Hannana. This was a date palm tree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lean against when he would give the Jummah khutbah. Later on, obviously, the Muslims became more affluent. Somebody designed a mimbar, brought that mimbar for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this date palm tree became very sorrowful. And Hannana, it comes from, the meaning of it is crying, wailing, screeching. This date tree knew that that's it, my time is up now. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will use the new mihrab, the new mimbar. I will not gain that honor anymore. He began to cry. The Sahaba described this event. It let out screams because of that distance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now. And then the Prophet alaihi wasallam said to it, that I will plant you in paradise, the believers will eat from your fruits, and then accepted this, and it calmed down as well. The Prophet ﷺ stroked it, and it calmed down. Now this account, Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, that through this account we learn, that if an inanimate object, like a date palm tree, meaning it's not a human being, if this shows this level of love, an emotion towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how much love and devotion should a human being, an ummati, a lover of the Prophet alaihi wasallam show? He said, we are more rightful of crying in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we go. We should shed tears in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should beg for his intercession. We should beg to be in his company in Jannah, in Jannatul Firdaus. So these are the things that we need to learn about. When you go with this intention, when you go with this love in your heart for the Prophet ﷺ and his noble city, that's when you reap the full blessings. That's when your hazri will be an accepted hazri. And that's when, inshallah, you will gain shafaat of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us time and time again towards the blessed lands and give us tawfiq to visit with full respect, being mindful of all the adab of visiting these blessed cities. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Dawate Islami be glorious in every corner of the world for the sake of Medina. We are calling upon you.